I don't appreciate that you're concerned about bothering those people in the Vega, but they're the ones making a change that's going to affect us in the county.
And it happens every day. And annexation happens every day. And Catherine, it's not, and people in the room who will tell you this, it's not that I'm overly polite. It's not that I'm concerned about, thanks for the giggling. It's not that that I'm worried about stepping on toes. I take very seriously what I believe the Board of Supervisors' role is. And the Board of Supervisors' role, as it relates to our cities, our municipalities, from top to bottom, is different than our municipality's role with the county. It just is. That's where I come down on this issue. And I appreciate that you disagree with me. I voice what I believe, and I try really, really hard to stay within the confines that I believe
is the Board of Supervisors. Aren't you my proper person to talk to because
absolutely.
You represent people in the county?
No question about it.
And I appreciate what Mr. Clinton said in that the decision you're making right now is all about a sternly worded letter.
Right, exactly.
That's all it's about. I don't see why that should be hard for you to be participating in a sternly worded letter about how these roads that cross 30 are affected by the choices of the IDOT.
Absolutely. And I think that's a reasonable point. Just I don't know that you've ever attended a Board of Supervisors meeting. Our relationship here is we've done a nice job building trust between the three of us. And part of that trust is making sure that when we're sitting out here, we all know where the other one stands and why they stand there. And the reality is I've got issues with 600, and so I make that point. And the motion is still made, second still through, we're still going to vote on it. We just share with each other what we believe, and that's the way we operate.
And that is quite refreshing, frankly, as a person who's never been to one of these meetings before, see how professional and above board you have been about your votes and what you're doing. Greatly appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
All right. Further discussion. Yeah, Al? Let's be quick, Al.
Yes. Okay. Do you have the other maps?
Yeah.
No. So do we have them up there, Darren?
Yes. There should be four.
Which one do
you want? Which one do you want?
Well, basically, if you show the other alternative number three, do you have
alternative beta?
That is the one right there. Okay. I don't understand why in my opinion, and I happen to be the president of the NEDC, okay, so what happened 5, 10 years ago, I can't help it, okay? All I know is that what we're trying to do is bring business into town,
right.
Bring jobs into town, and so forth, make it a better community. So, and just to correct something, the NEDC does not own the land where Vetters is, where Van Law is at. That land is owned by the city, okay? So what the city gave Van Wall is not a problem that the NED started here, okay? But I want to make a point here. I don't know why you think that you're stepping on this on the feet of the city of Nevada because of this proposal here. All we're trying to say, there's a petition out there right now that basically says that we are not against the interchange at Airport Road. We are not against the interchange at closing of the S-14. What the petition says, we are against the closing of 6th Street.
Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not against anything else.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is the fact that the interchange at Airport Road is going to cause some other problems.
Absolutely. And so, Al, I think you guys are misunderstanding my position in this. My position in this is this project right here is between the city of Nevada and DOT. It's not the role of the board to weigh in on that. That's why I come down where I come down on 600. It is clearly part of that project, not the other project, which I think is the role of the Board of Supervisors to weigh in on. That, and I understand that there's people that disagree with where I am, and that I think my two partners disagree with me. But I wanted to make sure that I was clear that's where I come at.
But if you bring up the next map, bring up alternative number one. I think it's number one. Number one. Now, if you close 580th, or let me see, 580th at Vetters, okay? Vetters only has asphalt to just a little bit beyond their place.
Right.
If 580th is closed, That is a complete paved road all the way to Lincoln Way.
Yep.
And if you look at this as alternative number three, four, okay, if you look at the other, I believe that the city, the DOT opted for this because it would be less convenient for them to get to the churches and to get to the DOT maintenance shop. Because if you go to the next alternative, can you bring up the other one? That's the west alternative. Here you can see where the, if you put the intersection at by Brecky's, you can clearly see the interference that it's going to have, or the convenience it's going to have to get back to the churches and to get back to the maintenance shop. Mm-hmm. So clearly, what the DOT is doing here, in my opinion, is saying that the churches have to have is a greater priority than the businesses do. And we got to remember one thing, folks. The churches do not generate any taxes. Okay? Businesses generate taxes. They generate sales tax. They generate income tax. They generate withholding from the employees and so forth. Our taxpayers and our businesses is what's supporting this whole damn situation. We can have all the churches we want, but believe me, they do not. I repeat, and I'm a Christian, but they do not generate to the economic benefit of a society. Okay. That's my opinion of the end. But we need businesses, we need employment, because this whole thing we're fractured.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Al. Any other comments before the board votes? Ron. Ron, you're getting your steps in today.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, because I didn't know you had all these pictures. Yeah, just when I go back when I was up. I don't know if you hear me. The last time I was up here, what you said, Paul, that, you know, they come with the city of Nevada business and 600. 600 is the most concerning today at this meeting, because still I can't go to the city council. They ain't going to listen to me. I do have city stuff, but they aren't going to listen to you. These people that's here are in a county, and I say you represent the county. And because what the city's doing is affecting the county, 600th Avenue is the major one to be concerned with today, without a doubt. Plain and simple. And just like they told Paul, they said at that meeting, they gave him that lie that the ramps were going to interfere with 600. You look at where the ramps are coming there now to the interstate ramp, and you go to the other plan where the ramps coming to the interstate plan is way closer than what it is on 600th Avenue. So it's another lie that they told you and told the people so they can
See, Ron, I don't agree that it's another lie, because you got a high speed exit as opposed to a slow down and stop exit to make the turn on 600. So you can disagree. I'm fully on board with people disagreeing, but I don't think for a second that this is just a case where DOT lied. The reality is there's concerns with having a non-high speed turn within a certain proximity to an intertrack. It's one of the reasons the Sand Hill Trail right now is atrocious, because you're 100% right. It is too close to I-35 coming north, exit onto 30 East. Sand Hill Trail's too close. There's no question about it.
They should put a turn lane at 600.
I think they can do lots of different things. My stance, again, is that is a part of the city of Nevada's project, like it or not. And the reality is, the number of things that our municipalities do that impact the county without us having any role, any say-so in, the list is longer than your arm. It happens every day. It's part of the role of a board of supervisors. And again, don't have to agree with me. It is simply my stance of where I come down with this. I walk in here today, and I knew where I stood on 590. I just knew. I've been upfront about that. I've been upfront with DOT on where I stood on 590. I was not in a position where I was ready to take action against 580. I'm there. You guys have convinced me of that. I'm still struggling with 600 simply for what I lay out. I believe that is a city of Nevada issue, and I don't want to step on their toes. I don't believe it's our role as Board of Supervisors. It's not intended to be the import that I place on 600. 600 is a major north-south thoroughfare.
Well, then we should be talking to the city about maintaining that and paying our taxes to the city then if we have property there.
Would it be great if that's the way it works?
Jurisdiction-wise, 600 is clearly within the city.
No. 600 is in the county, but that project is part of the city.
Yeah, well, see, that's again where the disconnect is. If it's truly within the county and it's been brought to us as a concern and the impact it has, I think we can take a position.
No question.
To speak out for them, because obviously they don't feel like they're going to have an opportunity to have input, you know, in...
You're 100% right. And not one time have I said that we can't take
right,
that.
I agree. I'm telling you
where I come down and why I get hesitant on 600. Absolutely, we can take the action. It just is outside what I believe is appropriate for us.
Mr.
And that's the reason I come down where
Mr.
I come down.
Mr. Chair, I will call a question. I think that we have... Really,
you sure Nancy couldn't stay seated anymore?
Say, I would allow.
Clarify what you're trying to explain to everybody.
Nancy, would you go to Mike? I'll yield to allow you to speak because I know you're very.
Nancy did a great job staying out of this all the way through. You just couldn't take it anymore.
All right. Okay. But the only reason that 600? Well, reason Rick is saying that 600 is part of the Nevada project is because DOT made it part of the Nevada project. Okay? 600 is, and I hope, always will be, county property. Part of the county. Okay? But in the construction that the DOT has laid out, 600 is part of the Nevada project. Do I like that? No. I don't. Because when they're doing the construction, that's another issue. But I want you to understand that's the only reason Rick is saying that 600th is part of the Nevada project. Not because Nevada made it that way. The DOT made it that way. That help you?
I don't know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Board, anything else before Wayne has attempted to call the question? Toot made the motion, so it goes to Toot first. Did somebody want to weigh in?
She wanted to weigh in.
Oh, Sally, you couldn't let Nancy speak without you coming up to speak.
No.
Pull the microphone over there close, Sally, so that we can hear you.
I haven't heard anybody else, half of them. Say, what I'm concerned about...
Sally Jensen.
Sally Jensen, 59296, U.S. 30. I'm very upset about closing or talking about that. All three of those are so important. I have told them at the meeting, at the DOT meeting, why don't you extend Maple Road, bypass Airport Road, go on to 600, and then indirectly, I bet, because they're taking our whole farm and they want to research it for artifacts and whatever. I can foresee if they go 1 mile more on Maple Road, they have two straight shots in to the ethanol plant, DuPont, and co-op. I think it's just asinine that you don't open up your mind and say all three, because I can vision later on that Maple Street probably will go through our farm later, and I wouldn't be surprised in the next 10 years. And that will connect. And also, they haven't told you, but they're coming off I-34, I-35, and they're going to join in because it's something about the traffic getting to Nevada on Highway 30. And they also, family up there has been, is all here. Do you know about it?
I don't know a lot. I talked to Scott Gottstetter, and he said he...
Come to the microphone, please, if you want to have any substantial conversation. Introduce yourself.
My name... I'll sit down. Harold Galt, 57154 245th Street, Ames, Iowa. And to answer your question, I talked to Scott Gottstetter, And I said, how do you find out about these meetings? And he said he'd put me on the list to be notified, but I never got notified. I was at a Story County zoning meeting, and people there had some diagrams. I'm not sure where they got. One member of the zoning commission that showed a house down near the interstate at the end of 245th Street being taken. Scott Dockstetter said, no, it's not being taken. And I'm preaching to the choir to say how bad 245th Street is. And I think part of the trouble was actually caused by the county by allowing the church to expand, because they said, even though they were going to double and triple the size of the church in the parking lot, the church said there'd be no increase in traffic. I haven't witnessed that. And as you said, they've increased the turning lane three times. They put up yellow flashing lights. And if you hit it at the wrong time, you just have to fight your way to get across there. And I argued at one time with Story County Zoning that when they're expanding the church parking lot and expanding the church, they should have made the access for the church up to Lincoln Way rather than out on Highway 30. Mm-hmm. And because they're trying to make Highway 30 a limited access road. And I know in the past they turned down a request, and I'm talking 25 years ago, for a gas station along Highway 30 because it would increase the traffic on and off of Highway 30. So I guess I'm here to, I started to answer your question. Now I've given you more comments than you're probably interested in. But I think there are some solutions, such as the county helping limit the access onto Highway 30, because if you increase the development around there, you're just increasing the problem if the highway DOT does not close those intersections now. So I guess I'll go back, sit, and learn some more.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, earlier, you know, called for the question, but I also recognize that the passion that these people have and the time that they spend
impacts their lives.
And fuel, it's important that we agree to just yield on calling the question to hear, you know, these concerns, because their livelihood is certainly being impacted by the decision that could have a major impact on
our goal, the three of us together, Wayne.
I wanted to also, let me just finish up, I also wanted to kind of say that Rick's stance on that should not be misconstrued. He was just saying that the process, because 600 is included in the Nevada project, that's why he felt that it's not something that he was comfortable with weighing in at this time.
That's right. It's not even the first time I've been called asinine.
So it's not. So that's just the difference between that. Because it's,
hey, the goal of this board all the way through, and I would hope, you know, we've got people here who have petitioned the board on many different things, and sometimes we come down on their side and sometimes against them. I think Greta is a great example of somebody that wasn't overly happy with the board decision a year or so ago. But I hope our goal has always been that we have the full conversation. We have the full conversation in the light of day. And even when we decide something that differs from the views of some people in the audience, they not only know where we stand, but they know why we stand there. Again, even if they disagree, and I would hope that even the people who disagree with us can at least acknowledge that.
Right.
That's been our goal all the way through. Sally, you got anything else for us before we vote?
Yes, I want to address this, too. If you noticed on 580th and Airport Road, they got a bad problem there. They got a water problem. They're dumping it off. Not only, they call it an open ditch. I want to clarify, it's a dredge ditch. It was man-made by the landowners.
By your dad?
Yeah. His grandpa.
His grandpa, okay.
His grandfather was in it. And I think this is something that should be addressed. Why do you even want to recognize when they can't take care of their water? Right now, they got a pillar of the curb where it goes down on each side, goes in the water. Then in the right-of-way, it causes us to have low crop yield because
You go across Maple Street, and there's a big stream as wide as your table, and then it goes across 600th Street and goes out our tile and our culverts in the dredge ditch. That should not be allowed. Cities should not do that. And clarify it, the Nevada Airport, the way I understand it, on the east side is city limits. On the west side is still county.
Right, but the road was designed by the city and built
right.
by the city.
Right.
You want something?
No.
I think it was county.
No. County designed a curb and gutter system?
Well, if I remember right, when that happened, what they did, that was to get that free funny money that nobody pays from the federal government. They had to put curbs on it. That was one of the...
Is that a lot of money, you mean?
I don't...
That was some type of a program at the time had to have curbs on it, the way I remember. That was what they told us.
All right, any other comments that we need to deal with regarding Highway 30 before
well,
we go?
The thing that, just like I said last night, we're hauling up S-14. We do that all the time. And I brought this up to the DOT. The reason S-14 needs to be redone, the reason they had accidents there, is your line of sight to the right.
Exactly.
And what they told me, what the criteria is for these bridges and what these ramps are no different than that. And you can look right there. I can see three accident points right there, just worse than what they got now and all the money they're going to spend. Mm-hmm. It's just continuing. All this stuff... We're not like we're experts. We just drive them every day. So, I mean, we don't count, but they're the ones they're building for.
Well, the point Wayne makes is 100% right. It impacts you guys on a day-to-day basis. Well, you're 100% right for being impacted.
They've done all this, and they're going to spend a bunch of money. It's a typical government way. We're going to throw a bunch of money at something, and it isn't going to be any better than what we just got done with. They haven't thought any of this thing through to the very end, and they run around telling, like they told Paul Heider this story too, well, they can't, we got to close 600 because the ramps are closed. You put this back to the other one, you'll see that it's a lot farther apart than that design right there. It's just another story. And they just tried doing so many things to get this thing through for the city of Nevada. And it's time
yeah, everybody right. We're starting to repeat ourselves. It's afternoon. Let's get to the end of this thing. Is there anybody who has anything else that they want to offer before we vote? Okay.
Quick.
Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. I'll write the letter. We'll get it to them and we'll go from there. We're going to take a 5-minute recess. Then we got another big conversation coming. Those of you who are done with the road, please feel free to go. Stick around if you want to enjoy another one of these. All right. Part two of the Board of Supervisors meeting today. We don't have minutes to consider. We'll do those next week. Personnel actions as listed, Board.
Move approval.
Clinton.
Aye.
Tooth.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consideration of claims from November or November 5th.
Also move approval.
Second.
Clinton.
Aye.
Tooth.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda board, please add road closure 1641, utility permit 1637.
Move approval with noted additions.
Second.
So motion and second. Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. Additional items. We have two resolutions on the same topic to consider today. And so, Board, with your permission, we'll just deal with it all as we go. Let people speak to either one of the resolutions for or against, and then at the end, have the Board consider the resolutions. Acceptable?
Yeah.
Good? All right. So with that, consideration of Resolution 1621 for the Iowa Utilities Board to require Dakota Access to provide funding for a complete and independent environmental and economic impact statement, defer action to construct a pipeline pending completion and receipt of said statement, and to make the statement available to the public of the results of said study at least 60 days prior to any hearing to consider said request. And that's from our friends at the League of Women Voters, and specifically Davita Hardin. Second one is Resolution 1623, that the Story County Board of Supervisors support permitting and the construction of the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline, and strongly urge that the Iowa Utilities Board approve the request by Dakota Access LLC to construct the proposed pipeline, and that is submitted by the Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure. So we got those two, and the first speaker that I have, I can't read it. I want to say it's Leonard.
Do you
want to
do Davita first?
Okay, yeah, let's do Davita first. Davita, we started with you last time we considered a resolution from the league. Let's start with you again this time. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for being here. You got to sit through an interesting Highway 30 discussion.
Yes, yeah, I did.
She's spending most of the time.
Okay. Good afternoon. As stated, my name is Davita Hardin, president of the League of Women Voters of Ames and Story County. First of all, thank you for placing our resolution on your agenda today. Very heavy agenda, I see. And very simply, we are asking the supervisors to stand with us in requesting the Iowa Utilities Board to defer action upon request by Dakota Access LLC as stated in the resolution presented to you.
Thank you. I had one question on the resolution, and I maybe I'm not reading it right, or it just wasn't clear to me. Would this necessitate... So we pass this resolution, and then if it were acted on, would it necessitate delaying the hearings that are scheduled to begin next week? Is that what you're asking for here?
Just delay the hearing?
Yeah, there's a hearing scheduled, I believe, for the 12th, right? That's the initial start of the hearings over in Boone County.
Right.
And what I couldn't get clear on in my mind, Davita, in reading you guys' resolution is, are you asking for those to be put off, or are you asking that before a decision is made that there would be this full study? And if you don't have the answer, you don't have the answer. It's the one thing I couldn't get my mind around as I read your resolution.
I was glad that it is to defer action by the utility board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super. Thank you very much. Is there anybody, since we're doing it this way, is there anybody from the Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure Now who would like to have an opening statement, and then we'll go straight to comments from the public? Please introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Chad Carter, business agent, operating engineers, Local 234. We cover 92 of 99 counties in Iowa. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before the board today. Today's agenda includes two resolutions regarding the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline. One sponsored by the League of Women Voters, we oppose. If you recall, in August, we opposed a similar resolution as we discussed the benefits of a major infrastructure project to Iowa, both with the creation of jobs and the economical benefits to communities. In addition, we discussed that the Iowa Utility Board has a process in place, a process that begins next week. And the IUB will conduct a thorough hearing ranging from environmental impact to economical analyzation. They will conduct their due diligence, including assessing public comment from stakeholders and viewpoints in support and opposition to the project. The second resolution is one offered by the Maine Coalition, a group of businesses, labor, and agriculture interests that support the development of the Dakota Access Project. We are members of the coalition. I believe Mike Paulson, president of the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, and a resident of Nevada, reached out to you regarding his support of this project, or of this resolution, and we want to echo that support. We advance our support for the reasons outlined in the resolution. I'll just hit a few of them. because construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline would provide employment for thousands of Iowa construction workers. Story County would benefit from property tax revenue and permanent jobs from a pump station in the county. We understand that the board will likely defer action on the resolution, but wanted to let you know that there is support for this project across Iowa, as evidenced by more than 70% of voluntary easement already secured by Dakota Access. Thank you.
Thank you. So the first member of the public that I have speak is Leonard. Starts with an L. Looks like it starts with an L. Leonard, I'm sorry, I can't read your last name.
I should have been a doctor, maybe.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here.
Leonard Larson, 56892 Highway 210, Cambridge. I look at this as two different options on the whole business of everything. One is the project, and the second thing is the eminent domain, in which I would like to, no matter what goes on, I'd like to have you put your foot down of the use of eminent domain by a private organization. And when I'm talking about the benefits for taxation, the jobs, so on and so forth, if this goes on, goes through, it's just like Bobby Kaufman, or Representative Bobby Kaufman from Wilton, is on the WHO radio. He's the chairman of the Government Oversight Committee. Said if the idea of taxation is going to be used as an excuse for use of this by private business, that will be the start of all the litigations that will go through. Because once that is opened up for use of private businesses to use, because of increased taxation, increased jobs, so on and so forth, everybody's house, whether it's in a small town, in the country, wherever someone is, Holiday Inn, Casey's, come and go, could come along and take theirs off because the betterment of increased property taxes, increased employment, so on and so forth. So it's an excuse that could cut both ways very, very severely. Being on the Township Trustees, we had a meeting here in the first part of the year, and at that time period, yes, you guys were kind of thinking about it in a favorable way. I was trying to get to you and everything that way to go against that and everything. And as I understood from your talking about, yes, you were interested in the property taxes that would get. And that's what the a comment that was implied or inferred by me, I'll put it that way. We have 16 years, a person who's had a pipeline that's gone through their farm, a 30-inch pipeline that's gone through, and in 16 years, they've had a certified crop adjuster to come out and go through there, and they've had a 36% crop loss, an average of 36% over the last 16 years. Now, the question I'm going to ask is if you guys kind of if you're supporting this pipeline, and since I pay property tax on my land through productivity and everything, can I go and take that 16% loss and come where I work through you guys to get a 16% reduction on my property taxes, because the thing that has come through my farm and everything has now reduced.
What kind of pipeline is it coming through your farm? Pardon me? What kind of pipeline is it coming through your farm?
Back in oil line. The Dakota Access.
Oh, you would be coming through.
Would
I thought
you
were telling me about what it was already coming through. Okay.
Did you have a question, Mr. Clinton?
Well, I started to, but I backed off now that it's been clarified.
Sorry. I should have said that earlier and everything.
Right.
But I, because of the, as has been written on the internet, the back in oil has benzene, xylene, toluene, and hexane in it and everything. Benzene is one of the number one cancer causers there is on the whole business. And that someday, someplace, the pipe will leak. Not from anything, from manufacturing or anything like that, but let's just say that something hits it, ground squirrel eats into it, but all of a sudden that creates a leak. If that once
the hell of a ground squirrel is eating into it, I want to beat that ground squirrel.
Yep. But once that that pipe structure has been damaged there and everything, mm-hmm. if the benzene gets into the water supply, I think we will have more problems of what we're going to be doing for drinking waters. You look at California, you look at Nevada, you look at Texas. Ask them which one they'd rather have right now. Would they rather have oil, or would they rather have drinking water? And I think these are some things that need to be looked at in the far-reaching future, what's going on. But as I started out at the very beginning, please stand up and say no to the use of eminent domain by a private company against private individuals. The people who have signed on, they have been satisfied with the money that they've gotten. I'm not interested in addressing that. But if taking on the eminent domain by a private company, that's almost the same situation as committing rape. So please stand up for the people that you're supposed to protect and everything.
Larry, thank you very much. Have you any questions for Larry?
Comment basically, and the question, you used the term that this taking of eminent domain by this particular entity would open the floodgates to all others. I respectfully disagree with you because I see this totally different in terms of you've got interstate commerce where you're crossing more than one state line, and you've got infrastructure within the state, whether you call it infrastate or structure or whatever. So how do you differentiate this holding from any other utilities board or whatever that is laying in our right-of-ways to provide necessary, you know, service? So I'm needing to be educated more. My question is more about education on the concept between any private entity and what the utility board's role is to approve whether or not they would be allowed to construct this pipeline, understanding there's going to be all kind of permitting process that different entities of the state would have to buy in if it's approved. So from your standpoint, just how is this one so different?
Okay, number one, you're like the comment that I used of open up the floodgates. That's basically exactly the same wordage that Bobby Coffin represented.
But
Bobby Coffin said.
What makes him an expert?
But pardon me?
What makes him an expert? I'm just asking from just.
I have no idea, but being the chairman of the government oversight committee, I have a hunch that he has to look into a whole lot more of the government legalizations of terminologies, ideas, this, that, and the other, and everything. So that I guess I would refer that answer to Representative Bobby Coffin. But the same token, you made a comment about utilities. Well, utilities is basically many times regulated by the Iowa Utility Board as to how much money that they can actually go and make. Okay, if Alliant Energy comes in and wants to raise the electric rates, they want to raise it 12%, they have to come along in here and they have to go through the Iowa Utility Boards for rate structures and things like that, and then they will say, nope, 12% is way out of line, you're going to be coming down, we'll give you 4.8%. And so that the Iowa Utility Board actually has a say as to how much money is going to be charging you, well, so on and so forth. And besides that, that company is many times going to be supplying you with electricity, supplying you with natural gas, coming along with anything else that's going to be used, a telephone on the whole business. All of those things are utilities that actually we all consume here, right, and sitting in here in the whole room. And so that, and since we're all using that in the state of Iowa, in Nevada, in Story County, and whatever, We also have all that information that the profit that we are going on is being regulated. The charges that are going to be going along are regulated and everything. But here it goes back to, this is a private company that has no regulations. Right now they say that they're going to be charging $8 a barrel for transporting and everything. Tomorrow morning they can say, nope, we're going to go to $10. And so that the amount of money that they were basically, to the amount of barrels of oil to be going through there, and the $8 a barrel charging it without their building costs and the whole business, is paid for in about 3 years. I don't know if I could get a business and have it paid for in 3 years. If I could buy a farm, I think I could get three partners sitting up in the front table there. If I could get paid for in 3 years, you'd probably be interested in going along with it. But I look at it as to do two different entities. One with, like you say, utilities have actually been regulated by the government. And here's a private industry that is not regulated by only how much profit can I get off of everybody else. And I think those are two different things to be examined. Yes, I have, the interstate came through there and took my property. I had a power line come through, and I had a grant easement for. I had a second power line come through to grant an easement for.
Mm-hmm.
I had the state of Iowa come along and take part of my land for road. And also, yes, I have a natural gas line that serves from Huxley to Cambridge. Two communities that support me, and I support them. Do I want to give up the interstate? No, I don't. The power line goes from Des Moines to Fort Dodge. It helps people in Des Moines. It helps people in Fort Dodge. My other power line that came along went to the city of Ames. And I understand, would you guys like to shut off your electricity since you live in Ames on the situation? No, I went along with that and everything. Went along with the natural gas line that comes through the cities of Huxley and Cambridge. All of those helped my community. This one here is not helping our communities, not helping our state. We have more risks to come along than we do rewards. And so we have to look at things as we go to things, we have to look at things as a risk reward benefits on the whole business. And taking your ground from eminent domain isn't something that I think the risk is too great to be looked at and everything that way. Did I answer part of your question?
Yes, you did. And yes, you did. And I really very much appreciate that, because I, you know, fully understand now, you know, the logic that you used, and with the idea of eminent domain for private use. As again, what I was basically saying is I do not agree that any situation with every case that goes through for something of this magnitude has to stand on its own merit.
Yes.
And would be evaluated. So that's the part that I was just disagreeing with, is that I don't believe it opened up the floodgates, you know, unlike a lot of people is basically doing it. But I do thank you for your sharing your views on that and helping me draw the distinction between the utilities and the movement of oil through the pipeline. I appreciate that.
Sir, thank you. I just really like to appreciate if you guys could put a vote in as saying to not use eminent domain by a private company against private individuals and everything.
Thank you.
So as to protect the people, property owners in Story County. Once we've had a problem, it will be keep on opening up more and more all the time.
Thank
you very much for your time.
Yes, sir. Arlene Bates. Good afternoon, Arlene.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes, ma'am.
Bring it a little closer, ma'am.
My name is Arlene Bates, and I live at 818 Southeast Innsbruck in Ankeny, Iowa. I own farmland with my mother, Leona Larson, And yes, I'm following my brother. So you'll hear duplication on some of our ideas and some of our what we are opposing. Our farm is located off Highway 210 in southern Story County near Cambridge. I am here to ask you to support your Story County citizens and landowners in protecting the land and water by opposing the Bakken Pipeline project promoted by Dakota Access. The Boone County Board of Supervisors recently formally opposed this project, and I ask you to do the same. In addition to opposing the pipeline, I request that you urge the Iowa Utilities Board to require Dakota Access to fund a thorough third-party environmental and economic impact analysis before the IUB will even consider the project. Dakota Access is on the record that the crude oil flowing through the pipeline will not end in Iowa. Rather, they have no idea where it will end up once it hits the refiners. There is no benefit to the state of Iowa. Why should we risk one of our most valued commodities, our fertile land and our water supply? During the nearly a century that our family has owned our farm, we have given way to Interstate 35, two power lines, and a natural gas line. Each of these provides service for our immediate community, our state, and our family. In contrast, the Bakken Pipeline serves only the company's owners. The transfer of the crude oil through Iowa will have no long-term benefit for the state of Iowa. Rather, when, not if, a leak or spill occurs, the landowners and citizens of Story County will be left to deal with this repercussion. This is a risk that none of us have asked for, and at least this Story County landowner does not want. I beg you to join me in formally opposing this proposed pipeline. Any eminent domain action related to it and resulting exposure of our land and water. Please think long and hard about this. Your actions will set a precedent that will all last not just your lifetime, but the lifetimes of our grandchildren. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. One of my favorites, Jack Troger. I always get your name, but you pronounce your last name wrong, Jack. Oh, good. I don't think Jack's always really happy with us, but he does have some of the best poems of all time.
Not a poet.
It was a good one.
I ain't no poet. But I have to try to live up to that doggone degree in English.
It's good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Glad you're here. Thank you.
I hope I can live up to my task.
You may not have the same material to work with today that you had last time. Entrepreneur. That's the what I attribute to him.
Which one?
Entrepreneur. Entrepreneur.
Please, if there is an entrepreneur in the audience, do not take that personally. It's not meant personally. I never mean anything personally. I'm Jack Troger, 1009.
Hold the microphone over to you. Everybody's going.
Oh, it's over here.
Well, there's one there, too, but we just in.
Jack Troger, 1009 16th Street in Ames. Retired earth science teacher with a master's degree in geology from Iowa State. Not bragging, but I'm a tad more knowledgeable about this issue than most people. Kelsey Warren's pipeline is unwarranted. Do you like that one? My perspective. I'm a terrorist. I believe in terrorism. Yes, you heard that correctly. Terrorist. Let me spell it out for you. I'm T-E-R-R-A-I-S-T. Terrorism. T-E-R-R-A-I-S-M. Terra. Latin for earth. Terrorism defined, Earth first in things, thoughts, deeds, decisions. As hard as I try to live up to those seven words, I can't because I live in civilization, a society that doesn't accept those seven words. I try. That's all I can do. As a child, I knew I was a terrorist by the age of five. Though trained to be a professional geologist, I could simply not drill, baby, drill. Some of my classmates now have tens of millions of dollars doing that. I was a teacher. Instead, I used my geological knowledge to serve Earth, not corporate greed. The Lorax spoke for the trees. I speak for Earth and all species. Picture Southwest Story County, pierced, penetrated with a 30-inch diameter pipe by billionaire Texas terrorist Kelsey Warren. He's not a terrorist. Now, picture that pipeline leaking as a few volunteer people, terrorists, struggle to staunch the toxic flood of black blood, oily black blood. However you vote, please consider voting on these resolutions to protect Story County. Reject Warren's wish to pump 31 million gallons of Bakken crude through it daily, 10 billion gallons yearly, equal to all of the manure defecated by Iowa's 21 million hogs annually. There are only 3 million of us humans. That's 7 of them for each one of us. Jobs, jobs, jobs. The usual mantra. Sad but true. Many, if not most of them, will magically disappear. And I have spent my entire working life as a proud union man. All pipelines leak, period. Iowa is already the single most environmentally altered state in the U.S. of A. Only 0.1% of it remains as it once was. If you let him, Warren will terrorize Iowa and Iowans without 1 inch of remorse. Boone County, supervisors did it, now it's your turn. Bakken oil is dead. D-E-A-D. And I know this, I'm a geologist. Drilling rigs are leaving North Dakota faster than they arrived. Fracked wells are depleted in a few years. Not decades, like regular wells. You need to understand fracking. It's a lot different than you think it is what you've heard in your mainstream media. Why build a pipeline for an oil field soon to be shut down? Point blank, Earth rules, and she does not compromise. Hurricane Patricia. She will consider Warren's pipeline a blatant act of cold-blooded terrorism and do whatever is necessary to stop it. And don't even get me started on eminent domain. Today, you guys got to choose terror and terrorism or terror and terrorism. And I hope you'll choose for Earth. Thank you.
Thank
for
you
listening, guys. Thank
yes,
you
sir.
For listening.
Thank you, Dad.
Wilma Jean Grossler. Thank you. Well, listen, John Butch, if your last name, start with your introduction.
That's all right. We did that in college, too.
Hi.
I'm Wilma Jean Gross Close, Longacre. I live at 33349 610th Avenue, Cambridge, Iowa. And I didn't come prepared to speak today, but I do have some comments, and I have an awful lot of feelings about this. First of all, Bakken Pipeline does not have a permit, and they've asked for a permit and the right of eminent domain. And on our farm, which is 162 years old in the same family, there are four pipelines. In 1979, Koch Brothers came through. At that time, they had a permit, and they did not ask for eminent domain. And I feel that this is just pushing people, okay, if you don't do what I want to, I'm going to take it anyway. Anyway, to make it illustrate, the pipeline that wants Bakken wants to go on 240-acre parcels, but they have trouble apparently getting to it. They don't want to come from the north. They want to go through my farm. And when I say that, I mean it's a gravel road. It's 610th Avenue. I think you're probably familiar with that. The gravel road goes through my pasture, which is in front of my house, and through my lot, my barn lot, and all my lots, and around through my lake, and down into my fields with their heavy trucks. And they don't seem to want to listen to the fact that this is only 23 feet when they go from the pasture to the barn lot, that my house is here, and then there's a fence, and then there's the lane. And that's 23 feet from the end of my house to that lane where they would be going with their heavy trucks and all their equipment. It is not equipped for that kind of thing. It's not made for that at all. And I've read the easements, and the easements are such that you have no control over your land. Anything you want to do, everything is in the favor. You would think that the land was theirs and they were granting you control. And you ask why we don't want this pipeline. I have a multitude of reasons, and I'll give them to you very, very quickly. First of all is the water, which is one of the most important things. My land is, I'm the last one in Story County, the Polk County line. I'm the last one in Story County. That's South Skunk River. That area has had water for years. My father and our neighbor, we've worked together for years and years. We've built ditches and done everything we can to get the land so that it's productive and it doesn't flood. They come in and they can really mess that up. Their easements say they can cut through dikes, they can do this or that. You go to doing that and the tile lines, you mess it up. Skunk River isn't all that easy. That water, whenever we have rains in Story City, even though there may be no rains in the Cambridge area, Story, we get lots of water. And also, if they cut up my ditch and Polk County, and right next to it is the Polk County ditch, and I would be very surprised if they would let them cut through it. Whether they bore through it or not, I don't know. But anyway, some of the reasons why I think this pipeline is not beneficial to Iowa or the citizens of Iowa. First of all, your water, it goes under eight rivers, and there's been spills in Yellowstone River. There was a spill And Bakken is five times larger than this pipeline was. 50 feet of the pipeline was exposed, and it was confirmed to be 8 feet below the river in 2011, and it took 2 years, 4 years for a change in the river. And South Sump changes all the time because you can't believe the rain that it has. Secondly, soil compaction and yield. ISU professor says the compaction can last for 20 years. The ecosystem, spills, there's all kinds of spills, and they've been, a lot of them have been, North Dakota has 139 pipeline leaks in 2011. Iowa only has a 250,000 surety bond, and this, I can't see how that can be any worse. Near adequate, because in North Dakota they had that leak, and I think it was 2.5 years ago, and they thought it was two million, and now it's coming up something like 40 million. So these spills were not cheap. Besides what they do to your water. Then there is the ecosystem, the vested interest in the land. When they take the easement, you're no longer free to do what you want to with your land. They disrupt the tile drainage, damage to the crops and livestock, effect on our soil fertility, and they give you have to give access to your property, and they don't really care when they come, when they would want to come at any time, which might be opportune, and your future land use. The gentleman before said something about the economic impact. Jay Swenson at Iowa State did a study on that, and the economic impact to Iowa is very few jobs. Then the other thing I have to say is the easements are so broad, and I don't understand why they can come in and ask for, they say propose, which means that it's for consideration, but yet they don't want to make any changes that could be beneficial to you or even to themselves. Their excuse is, it's the Iowa Utilities Board. Well, isn't the Iowa Utilities Board there to serve the people of Iowa? Who is protecting the people of Iowa? Anyway, if eminent domain is granted, I hate to think what's going to happen to this state. And I think it's a great responsibility to see government work the way it's supposed to be. But I think the citizens of Iowa need to be protected and not to do the bidding of industry because somebody's got a lot of clout and money. It's just like two children. One has candy and the other one wants it. Okay, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it some way or other. This is the way I feel that this is sort of working now. That the citizens of Iowa need to be protected, and I think that the supervisors should let them know that this is not the way it should be.
Well, Jean, that's all. Thank you very much.
I don't know whether I've answered your question or not.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next person come up.
Eric Schmidt. Hi, Eric.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'd first like to thank the board for allowing us to present in front of the lobby today. My name is Eric Schmidt, and I'm a representative of the Laborers International Union of North America. And while I may sound like one voice today, I represent more than 4,252 members. So it is their voices that I'm speaking for today, 36 of which live in Story County. 15 of which we would have liked to have here today, but ironically, they're actually working on a pipeline about 10 miles west of where we stand right now. We would like to take this opportunity to address the concerns of the League of Women Voters as well as the board. Research shows that dairy pipelines are statistically the safest and most economically efficient means of transporting oil. This is according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. And construction of the project will not only put thousands of Iowans to work, but will advance the goal of national energy independence. We would like to stress the national energy aspect due to having a direct impact on U.S. foreign policy, in our opinion. The Midwest has yet to develop adequate infrastructure to cope with the recent energy boom occurring in our region. As a result, oil trains have to carry nearly 70% of Bakken oil out of the region, resulting in more than 30 oil trains crossing through Iowa every week, even as we speak right now. The pipeline would unburden our rail system. This pipeline would transport oil the safest way possible while leaving the smallest carbon footprint. The construction would not create temporary jobs, but add and maintain to permanent careers in the construction industry. And I want to stress that because over the last year and a half, we've been going to a lot of hearings, and we've been hearing people say that these are just temporary jobs. And through organized labor, through our apprenticeship programs, through everything that we try to provide, these are careers, not just temporary jobs. The workers would construct the pipeline to meet or exceed federal safety requirements. Overall, this project is going to provide good jobs to sustain careers for working people. We are currently working with the current process established by law in Iowa to show our support. On November 16th, just 2 weeks down the road, the Iowa Utilities Board and their three-member panel will be presented, will have people present in front of them, interveners that are both for the pipeline and against the pipeline. And it is my understanding that ETP, Energy Transfer Partners, and Dakota Access Pipeline will provide to the IUB an environmental and economic impact study. Since we are following the current process, we encourage everyone to do the same as other interested parties and to submit a letter of support or an objection to the Iowa Utilities Board filing system. That was all I had. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for Eric? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Larry Coercion.
Kierson.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
My name is Larry Kierson. I live at 3908 Stonebrook Circle in Ames. I'm here speaking on behalf of the League of Women Voters resolution and also on behalf of myself. I have spent the better part of a professional lifetime as a civil engineer. I've worked on a lot of civil works projects, large and small. Most of them have involved either an environmental impact statement, a cost-benefit analysis, an archaeological study, or a combination of all three. And I'm sure you, as sponsors of civil works projects, have been in the position many times of requiring environmental impact statements, cost-benefit analysis, and so forth. That's a common way to do business. That's a way to operate on projects. We are not, at this point, stating an opposition to this pipeline. I would call your attention to the fourth paragraph of the resolution, which pretty well summarizes where we are. We're looking for a thorough, independent, unbiased environmental and economic impact statement evaluating the positive and negative consequences of the proposed pipeline would provide Story County residents and the IU Utilities Board with information necessary to make an objective cost-benefit analysis of the project. So that's what we're really looking for. We're wanting more facts on the record, and we want facts that come through and from unbiased sources. I'm sure that there will be a lot of information provided by the energy partners. It's information that they have generated. They are the people who will profit from this project, so you know that is a certain amount of bias that is going to be built into their presentations. We're kind of in the middle of the quadrennial silly season in Iowa right now, where statements are made, then they're repeated, and then they're repeated, and then they're said louder, and then they're said louder, and we're expected, I guess, to ultimately believe what is being said, whether it's the truth or not. This is probably not the way we should be choosing a president, and it certainly is not the way we should be looking at the facts related to a massive project such as this. I would call your attention to an item in the resolution presented by the unions. They are saying the Dakota Access Pipeline would provide employment for 2,000 to 4,000 Iowa construction workers. Which is it? I mean, this is one of the key economic impacts of this project, is the jobs that it is creating. If you can't tell us whether it's 2,000 or 4,000, that's 100% difference. How can we evaluate the benefits against the costs of this project if there's that wide a range in this one element of the benefits that they are suggesting? A little further on, they indicate that there is $49.9 million in estimated sales and income taxes during construction. That seems like a pretty precise number, and I guess I would ask the question, is that based on 2,000 jobs, 4,000 jobs, or something in between? Again, I think a lot of these numbers are being presented by the people who will most profit from having the pipeline constructed. And all we're asking for is that there be an independent analysis of the pros and the cons, put them out there in front of the people, and let them accept the information, conduct additional hearings as may be necessary, and then make the decisions. This will result in some delay. There's no question about that. I think we have time. This project will be carrying oil 30 years, 50 years, maybe 80 years in the future. A project like this creates its own demand for more oil. If we're still pumping oil through this pipeline in 50 years or 80 years, that oil is being burned and we're all toast. So what we want is for you to go to the Iowa Utilities Board and request that they get funding from the Dakota Access people to do a complete independent environmental and economic impact study. And this would be funded by the pipeline people. That's normally the way this would work. It would be administered by the Iowa Utilities Board and would be done by independent professional organizations that have the capacity to do this kind of project. So that's what we're looking for, and we urge your support of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Mary Sand.
Thank you, folks, for this opportunity to speak.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be brief and direct. First, I would like to encourage support for the resolution requesting that the IUB delay a decision on the pipeline construction until after completion of an environmental and financial impact study by an independent entity. This is a reasonable and proper request for a project of this nature. It's meant to provide the citizens of Iowa with the information they deserve, as well as the IUB with which to base its very important decision. Secondly, I do believe that the proposed pipeline running through 18 Iowa counties will prove to be a legacy issue for their 18 county boards. Pipeline spills are not uncommon and can be very destructive and very costly. The risk is high enough that remaining silent on this issue will be viewed as irresponsible. In the event of a leak, fire, or other calamity, it's the local people and the local government who will bear the brunt in the short and the long term. Therefore, the position this board takes through its statements or its silence should be carefully considered and treated as a defining legacy. I think that in the very least, this resolution will pass, and eventually this board will voice its objection to the entire project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Bernadette Siebert. Bernadette.
Hi. I'm Bernadette Siebert from 1229 McKinley Drive in Ames. And I know this will provide some jobs, and we want jobs for our people. But I think there are jobs...
A little closer to you.
I think there are jobs that are less risk to Iowans. I've heard our bridges are in trouble, and some of our gas lines are very old, need replacing. There's a lot of infrastructure that we need jobs and would cause less concern. And I'm trying to think longer term than just a few years down the road. What are our main resources in Iowa? They're our land and our water. And if there's a spill, it's too late. Those resources are just too important. And I know the utility board makes the final decision, but you guys can have some impact by at least supporting this resolution for environmental impact statement and your opposition to something to protect us. If our leaders don't protect us, who's going to do it? And we're going to end up paying for it if there's a spill. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Bernadette. Holly Hooch. Hi, Holly.
You got that right. You got that right. It's Keisha, as it rhymes with Keisha. 806 Brookridge, Ames, Iowa. And I'm supporting the League's resolution. And I want you to ask by Friday the Iowa Utilities Board to require your code. You're requesting that they make the decisions. To require Dakota Access to fund a thorough third-party environmental and economic impact statement. I think we need more information as you see this in differences of opinion as to how many jobs are being created and so forth. We need something that's independent so we can all be educated about what actually is going to happen to Iowa if this pipeline is built. I thought Larry Pearson did a very good description of what we could expect. The oil pipeline is unprecedented in Iowa. Senator Robert Hogue has said that there's only two other pipelines that carry oil. One is defunct because of corrosion, and another is only 16 miles long in southeast Iowa. So we don't know what could happen. But I think the risk of a breakdown is quite likely, and that damage to our water and our land could be enormous. It's been enormous in California, over $1 billion there, I think, and over $1 billion on a farm somewhere else from the oil leak. And the requirements for the person building the pipeline are very limited. I think I would only require like $250,000 or something. And that doesn't go enough to cover the expense. I don't think it's good for us to be encouraging the use of fossil fuel, which building this pipeline does. And as somebody else mentioned, it's no benefit to Iowans. It's going to run right through us unless it breaks. So I hope you will speak for the Story County residents who are concerned about the environment and the economic impacts, and support and join with the League in this Resolution 1621.
Thank you. George Valetzos. George, you get to wear a different hat in front of us.
Very different.
Outstanding. Thanks for being
today
here.
Today, I am not representing YSS. I'm no longer the CEO. I am speaking for myself. I am also speaking and need to identify myself as a new board member to the League of Women Voters.
Outstanding.
I am here as an individual who lives in rural Story County as well. As you know, my husband and I have an acreage in rural Story County, and we are in the, at the very end of the drainage district that we are in, and we had a lot of problems with pollution and all that water coming into College Creek entering Ames. The Board of Supervisors are responsible for all the drainage districts, you're the board, and this pipeline is going through the drainage district. So I really believe you do have authority to comment on what's happening. A lot of things have changed since the last resolution that the League of Women Voters put forth. And the League's resolution that they're proposing is very different from the last one. The last one asked you to oppose it. This one asks you to defer it to allow time for an unbiased environmental study. You appointed a very distinguished group of people to the Story County Soil and Water Commission. They studied this, and they recommended and passed a resolution opposing the pipeline and asked the Board of Supervisors to reconsider the issue. You had already passed on the opportunity to oppose the pipeline. And a lot of other information concerning the environmental impact. Those of us that live in rural Story County, we've gone to great lengths to preserve our soil, to keep the water drinkable. And my husband and I turned 25 acres of 100-year-old row crops, soybean and corn, into a prairie using Iowa seed. And we took out all of our drainage pipes and put the potholes back in. It's really helped. Mm-hmm. That is the direction that we should be taking, which is improving our soil, improving our water quality. This flies in the face of that, is totally opposed to any environmental concerns. Since you last considered this, Tom Fenton, a professor emeritus of agronomy at Iowa State, came out with a study that he did of the impact of this pipeline. In summary, when a pipeline is constructed, according to Professor Fenton, those effects could be devastating on the quality of the soil and be long-lasting for generations. One of the other concerns that I know that the supervisors are also concerned about, and one of the other speakers brought up, and I'd like to underscore, is this ridiculously low $250,000 surety bond to identify this company in case of damages. That's ridiculous. You put up a wind energy, a windmill. There's a lot bigger security bond that you have to have for that. Considering all the damage that will be done, because all pipelines eventually leak, I think it also places our county at higher risk for safety because we have the only pump station. So I think it really does fall to the Story County Board of Supervisors to take a really close look at the environmental impact, because and the surety bond, that cleanup is going to be millions of dollars, and it's going to fall to the local taxpayers. They'll do their $250,000. That has to be resolved long, long before utility board approves this, if they do. So, also keep in mind, the Heart of Iowa Natural Nature Trail, ISU Dairy and Research Farms, and all of us in the drainage district area, these are all very important areas in Story County. Very sensitive areas. And I ask you to support the League of Women Voters deferment request and environmental study. I think it's the... we're not asking you to go as far as to oppose it. We're asking you to allow time for deeper study. And this is going to be something that will have an impact for generations. Why can't we take the time to really study that impact? Thanks for your reconsideration of
that. Absolutely. Chad Carter.
Chad.
Mary Richards.
One more after this. We're supposed to be in Story City at 2 o'clock. Do you want me to hand? Alyssa calls him and tell me.
I was going to say good morning, but it's not good morning.
Not good morning. Mary, how are you?
I am good, Rick. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I am speaking on my own behalf and also as a member of the League of Women Voters. And I guess maybe as a former county attorney, too, because my legal education and experience have taught me that whenever possible, you are considering actions that are going to have public impact. You should consider the most complete, unbiased, independently gathered, and relevant information available before you make a decision. So I think you gentlemen are in the enviable position of being able to request that kind of information be gathered and presented on the pros and cons of the Bakken Pipeline proposal. It would be so valuable for all of the entities that are going to be making decisions. It would be so valuable for the public to have that kind of information. And I really don't think that a study presented only by the proffering organization, that is, what is it, Dakota Access, is going to fill the bill. I think you really want to be able to have available for everyone, independent information. Now, as you are aware, market forces just in the last couple of days are making tar sands oil and shale oil much less economically attractive. In fact, the Keystone XL Pipeline Company has asked the federal government to put off making a decision about whether they're going to approve that, because it's right now not very economically feasible for them. So to me, that buys some time to really do the thorough investigation into information that would benefit us all, certainly benefit our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, ultimately. I certainly have concerns, and I recognize the concerns of the construction industry and the trade unions. But I think there are as likely to be generated jobs in other energy fields. We know that we are lacking in the physical capacity to move the energy that we are creating in Iowa in terms of solar energy and wind energy and cellulosic energy to other places. Those kinds of things require construction as well. And so I think that all of those things should be taken into account, and I urge you to adopt the League of Women Voters proposal.
Thanks, Merrick. Sandra McGinsey. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Sandra McGinsey, 2236 Storm Street, Ames. So much has been said, I won't repeat, but I thank you for entertaining this discussion a second time around. As I recall earlier, you declined to support an earlier resolution because saying it was not your process, and you wished you had been a part of the process, but you weren't, so you declined action. I think, honestly, by adopting a resolution, it is your opportunity to be a part of the process. So I would encourage you to become a part of the process and follow the lead of, as was mentioned, the Boone County Board of Supervisors and also the Story County Soil and Water Conservation Commission, both of whom have adopted resolutions, I think even stronger than the one offered today. So I would encourage you to support the League's resolution, even though I prefer a stronger one. I would support that and encourage you to also support it. Thanks.
Thank you. That's all the requests that I had. Is there anybody else wishing to address the board? Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Hi there. My name is Heidi Bruce White. I live at 309 M Avenue in Nevada. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to us. We had a very hectic morning, and while it's all in the job description, still appreciate your time you've taken. I want to talk to you on behalf of something that hasn't been spoken about much at this meeting, and that's the impact of what it's going to do to the railroads who currently have the job. Eric spoke of the 30 trains per week that come through Iowa. Now, I don't know how much y'all know about railroading, and I'm not trying to patronize you by simplifying it down, but a crew starts in Omaha. There's two men on it, two people, could be a female, used to be me. Goes from Omaha to Boone, changes crews, goes from Boone to Clinton. So we're talking four people to get a loaded train across the state, and it's also going to take four people to get it across the state. You do the numbers on that, and that's 240 jobs a week, each week, all month, all year long. And these are folks that live in Iowa currently. Just do the math for you, that's 12,480 jobs per year. And while I feel for the unions that are wanting this contract for these jobs, there are currently union employees that are transporting this crew. I am a former railroad employee, local UTU 329 out of Boone. I am all for organized labor. I was furloughed in 2008, a week before Thanksgiving, thanks to the housing market crash and the foreclosure crisis that struck our country and caused the greatest modern recession in our time. Currently, there are 50 furloughed in Boone Terminal, 34 in the Clinton Terminal, 5 in Mason City, and 10 in Des Moines. Normally, this is the busy season for the railroad because they're busy transporting all those container cars across for everybody to do all their Christmas shopping this time of year. So this is really bad that there's furloughs going on right now. So I ask that you not focus on the jobs that it would create, but focus on the railroad jobs that would be lost.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to address us today on this topic?
Yes. I just wanted to address the gentleman. Eric Schmidt with the Laborers International Union of North America. Just to address the gentleman earlier, and it can be a little confusing based on the documentation you're looking at, because it is very common to hear 4,000 then 2,000 jobs on this pipeline. There are projected 4,000 jobs throughout the entire route from North Dakota to Patoka, Illinois. And then since we have 18 counties that would be going through, it would actually provide 2,000 jobs in the state of Iowa. And we can provide documentation later on.
Thank you very much.
That's all I have.
Thank you. I saw somebody else over here.
Ryan Holenrich, Iowa Operating Engineers Apprenticeship for Local 234. Bear with me, I'm not a great public speaker, preacher, or politician. A couple issues I wanted to address. He just covered one on the 2,000 to 4,000 jobs. Currently, we have apprentices working on hydroelectric dams at the Red Rock Project. It's a wonderful opportunity for people to gain marketable skills, change careers, and gain a new career path without incurring a large amount of student debt, if you're familiar with apprenticeship programs. Several of our apprentices work in the wind industry as well. The skills that they would learn on a pipeline project, digging ditch, backfill, stripping, you name it, are applicable to that hydro job, to the wind energy as well. Clearing the dirt so they can build bases, putting the land back to where it was just like before so it can be farmed, tillable, whatever you want to call it. Same with the pipeline industry. Today we have. I brought an apprentice with me, took the day off, Ross Walsh, sitting over there. He's actually a veteran, newly enrolled in the program this last year. With the pipeline project that went into the Marshalltown Powerhouse, we had an expanded opportunity for a veteran coming home to have a chance to gain those marketable skills and have a career going forward, which he thoroughly enjoys. Thank you for taking the day off to come with us, Ross. Yesterday, I had a chance to attend the Jefferson County Board of Supervisors meeting with two similar resolutions to like what you're seeing today. With the Iowa Utility Board process starting on November 12th for the public comment section, they deferred any vote to the resolutions, both for and against, because they felt at that time, with the Iowa Utility Board process starting, both parties would have an opportunity to submit evidence for and against the process and move forward that direction. Any questions on apprenticeships, how they would operate? Or?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Anything, Wayne? Thank you very much. Anybody else? Larry or Leonard?
Being on township trustee, we are responsible for fire departments, so on and so forth. With hexane being in this oil, it's one of the most volatile chemicals there is on the whole business. And with the pumping station in Story County, right along Interstate 35, Jack's comment about terrorism, so on and so forth, on the whole business, being exposed that much to things could happen, so on and so forth. But anyway, if something happened to that pumping station or anything like that, what fire department could be called to take care of a problem right now? Maybe the only one that could actually be able to do it is the city of Ames. How many people in the city of Ames want to let go of their fire department right now to be down there for a week at a time? Those are things that we have to be looking into as to problems that could arise on the whole business. Second thing was is that the U.S. Senate Energy Committee voted to restrict the, used a bit of terminology that all crude oil had to be refined before it could be sold. Well, now is overwhelming vote to suspend that law to bring it up before the Senate so that all crude oil could be now exported overseas without having anything spent in the United States. The last thing is that I appreciate the League of Women Voters because, yes, we've already had an environmental study done on the whole business. They sat out the gravel road with binoculars a quarter to a half mile away in snow drifts in January and says, I don't see anything wrong here now. And so I thought that was a very good test that they had done for the environment on the whole business.
But thanks, Larry. Anybody else? Greta.
I have been
doing some preparation for this story for KHOI, and I want to also clarify the issue about the jobs, because my job is to report facts, although I'm not paid for it. The 2,000 jobs, are those jobs for a year, or are those permanent jobs?
All of our jobs are permanent, I can speak to that. We just go from one project to another, but our jobs are careers that are permanent.
Okay, so we're talking about supporting one of you for a year with those 2,000 jobs.
Let's not get into a conversation without Michael. Make your statement, Brenda.
My statement is that previously on a KHOI program, we talked to Dave Swenson, the economic analyst at the Iowa State University, who's been doing a lot of the analysis for this. He said that the numbers that are being given for the jobs are for 1 year. This is a one-year job, so we'll count it as 2,000 jobs. If you want to talk about a two-year construction period, then it will jump to, you know, double that amount. So I think we need to be very careful about the details that we're hearing about the jobs. I researched the Boone County Board Supervisors meeting. One of the news outlets was reporting the Union of Engineers, of Operating Engineers, had reported 400 permanent jobs in Iowa. And I asked Dave Swenson, what is your take on that? He said, ludicrous. He said, ludicrous. There are a couple of dozen permanent jobs in Iowa for the long-term operation of this pipeline. We are not talking thousands of jobs. We're talking about, you know, thousands of people getting 1 year of employment plus a couple dozen people having long-term jobs. So that's what he was saying. I'm taking his word for it because he's done the hard analysis. He said he was teaching today and he couldn't come to this meeting, but I think that needs to be taken into consideration. In my other interviews that I've done so far with Boone County residents who became very, very informed about what this was all about, I heard something that echoed what Holly was saying about the type of pipeline we often hear. Oh, you know, we have, you know, thousands, millions of miles of pipeline under our state, you know, what's the big deal? Well, this is a completely different product. It's highly corrosive. It's got to be under extreme amount of pressure because it's not, you know, lightweight like natural gas. It's, you know, it's this sludgy kind of thing that has to be pumped and has to be heated. So it's a very different situation, and it sounds like we don't have a lot of experience in the field about how these kind of pipelines work or don't work. So those are just some facts that I haven't heard kind of emphasized, and I have heard through my reporting. So
thank you. Anybody else? All right, board, we've got two resolutions in front of us. Our call on what, if any, action to take on either, both, neither. Thoughts?
Well, first of all, let me weigh in a little bit on a couple of things. After receiving the resolutions or the request for consideration of the most recent resolution regarding the environmental impact, I was referred back to my educational days and decided, well, maybe I should understand a little bit more of what environmental impact, what is this all about? And so if you Google environmental impact, it certainly pulls up a statement by supposedly a noted expert in the field. And just since my esteemed colleague, Mr. Stroger, back there, kind of used him, I'm going to share you some of the things that I found, mostly just in light view since I haven't shared this with you. But before I do that, let me preface something that was also in my research. It says that the pipeline will pass through 3 miles of state-owned land in Story County, owned by Iowa State University, and another section in Buena Vista County. Warren Madden earlier stated that ISU is awaiting the Iowa Utility Board action and has no official position on proposed projects, noting the action would be subject to the Iowa Board of Region and the view by the Attorney General's office. A Josh Lehman, a spokesman for the region, said the board hasn't received any official information to make any judgment. A Steve Gent, Iowa DOT Director of Traffic and Safety, said each effective location under Iowa DOT jurisdiction has been reviewed and found acceptable. Once approval from IUB, the Iowa DOT will approve the utility crossing permit, so pipeline installations can occur. There are 34 crossings the DOT needs a permit for. Any directional boring under the roadway will not affect pavement. Iowa DOT would need to grant a construction permit for wildlife areas and rivers. A DNR spokesman said the pipeline would not need a construction permit, but would need an environmental permit associated with construction work. So again, the term environmental was used. Now, supposedly, under the information, they're saying approximately 50 feet permanent easement and maybe another 35 to 100 feet of adjacent space may be needed to bury the 30-inch diameter pipe. So then I was intrigued a little bit more about this whole idea of environmental study and what it entailed. So I went down a little further, and I'm going to quote from a Dr. Philip Gangulli, G-A-N-G-U-L-Y, who happens to be the assistant professor in the Center for Atmospheric Science, Indian Institute of Technology in Delhi, India. And then his first thing that drew my attention, he said the relationship between economic development and the environment, he contends that economic development and the environment are not compatible. Found that interesting. So then I read on further, and he says, environmental impact studies or studies have to be undertaken in order to find out what are the possible impacts that might occur at a given site. Only once we have found out the possible impacts, can we work out measures whereby these impacts may not adversely affect the site, which is similar to some of the rhetoric that we heard from some of our eloquent people here today. But then I looked up and said, here under environmental impact study, A, environmental concerns, the scale of the impact, the severity of the impact, the probability of occurrence, the duration of the impact. B, business concerns, potential regulatory and legal exposures, difficulty of changing the impact, cost of changing the impact, the effects of change on other activities and processes, concerns of interested parties, effects on the public image of the organization. And then it goes on to point out that an environmental impact study can point out its significant issues that result in direct release of prescribed noxious or persistent substances, results from poor management of resources, raw materials, or waste, cause capital or revenue expenditures which could be avoided, currently cause the enterprise to be out of compliance, may result in civil litigation and criminal procedures, are perceived to be significant by the public or customers, restricts future strategic development of the companies, and affect validity of insurance. Now, the question that I had, and what I'm sure our folks here who is asking for this resolution, is why should an environmental impact study be undertaken to evaluate the significance of this project? So it kind of depends on which side of the aisle you sit. If you are in support of environmental initiatives and environmental concerns, that would, in my opinion, lead you to conclude that this environmental study may give individual citizens a feeling that all factors have been considered. Then I come to the resolution, and then it says, whereby a thorough, independent, unbiased environmental economic impact statement. And this was a little troubling because I wondered how do you form this independent person? Who selects this body? Does members of the opposition group feel like that they want to weigh in and say, well, yes, we approve this person, or no, we don't approve this person? How do you judge what point of view they're going to take? Are you going to have people who have studied environmental impact and came up with harmful impacts to the environment versus people who look at it from the standpoint of economic vitality, additional job creations, change of our dependence on certain types of oil and fossil fuels, whatever. So it was really confusing for me when I looked at this to determine, well, where are we going to get this independent, unbiased environmental impact people who's going to do the evaluation? Where are they? Who are they? No one has identified these people. And so that's a concern. I heard the group also say very, and I tend to agree with them, that if you're only going to look at the environmental impact statement from the oil-producing group, maybe it is going to be skewed. That's probably not illogical. And may have a lot of value to that. So if I'm the IAB, UB, looking at this, and I look at that environmental impact, I'm going to look at the people that are presenting this information to determine the credibility, I would hope, and not necessarily just rely on just the industry experts that supposedly is going to present this. Now, however, I don't know that for a fact because I'm not on that board. But if I was on that board, I would certainly want to understand, you know, who was presenting this environmental impact. I heard a group say, yes, an environmental impact is going to be shared to the IUB. So where I'm at right now, Mr. Sanders and Toot, is I'm in a quandary. Had this proposal come to us the first time several weeks ago, I would be much more inclined to be supportive, but maybe tweaking it a little bit. Because when I look at some of the things in here, such as that independent unbiased group, and while I also look at, is it our responsibility or is it the UAB's responsibility to want to have an independent or an environmental impact? Is that part of the requirement? So asking me as a board of supervisors to say to the IUB that you should halt the project right now until we get an independent one is somewhat problematic. First of all, I want to see, and I don't know if we will see, if the public will see, what is the environmental impact that's going to be presented as part of this project. The people that's been appointed to represent Iowa on this utility board, I think has a heavy lifting to do to assure that the safety and welfare of Iowans are utmost as this project moves forward. Now, whether they do so in the same manner, I don't know. So I'm kind of at the same position that I was originally, saying that had this been presented earlier, I could say, hey, let's change a few things in here. I question the 60 days for the public to review it. I think that could have been shortened considerably. I think it's important that the public do kind of take a look at that. But I also noticed that no one today mentioned the Cherokee County court lawsuit by a couple people. I would have thought that I would have heard about that from this group. And in case you're not aware, You know, Cherokee County Court upholds the proper legal process and dismisses the lawsuit against the IUB. And I have it here. Anybody is basically interested. All I'll basically do is read the statement in there that, as the judge Carl Peterson said, as of all petitioners, potential wrongs are provided for in the relevant statute intended for review by the IUB and are subject to applications for a jurisdictional review following the IUB's decision. The wrongs are adequately addressed through the administrative process. And so, there seems to be a mechanism in place to evaluate whether this merits approval or not. They're going to hear a multitude of comments from citizens like you voicing your concern, and they're going to hear from labor and industry and the construction of the pipeline company about the merits of why this should move forward. And then they're going to render a decision. Once they render that decision, the Iowa Wildlife, Fish and Wildlife, I'm not sure if I got the right entity, where they're crossing under rivers and where they're crossing through sensitive lands, there's a permitting process that they have to go through. It's not the same as just going through general farmland. And so when you're going under rivers and underwater and you're going through environmentally sensitive areas, there is a permitting process that they've got to adhere to. So my issue right now is I strongly support many of the concepts that I've heard from those that feel very adamant about why waiting would be proper. I'm not comfortable saying that I want to say that I think you need to delay this process any further than where you currently are right now. I'd like to know what's going to happen after they meet on the 17th?
12.
And then determine what is the next process from there. There's winners and losers. And there are a lot of people that we've heard from that are very passionate, that have come and spoken to us. We've also not heard from a silent majority of people that may or may not support this. Mr. Sanders had a map drawn out, and I would have thought he brought that map out here that showed all of the people, all the properties that have said that they will allow for this to go through. And then you could kind of see all along the pipeline where it's at. And then we've got the easement.
Yeah, well, no, that was simply the information that's coming out of the proponents of the pipeline talking about X percent. You know, it's like 70% of the voluntary easements. And I wanted to see it for myself. And so I went down to the reporter's office, and I got every easement that's been granted in Story County and honestly printed out a map with all the parcels on it, and took a highlighter pen and just colored it in just to see where Story County is in terms of easement. And the reality is, it's about half and half. So, and, you know, about half the property in Story County where the pipeline would go has already granted easements, and about half has not granted easements. And to me, that was telling. But Wayne, I appreciate your thoughts. Paul, what thoughts do you have?
Well, I'm going to be a little briefer than Wayne, because he's thought a lot about this, and I've gone back and forth on this issue a lot since it was brought forth the first time in August. I appreciate the effort by everybody to come and speak today. I particularly appreciate the efforts by the landowners that are directly affected by this today, and the same with our earlier discussion on the Highway 30 project. Almost everybody that got up and spoke to that was directly or will be directly affected by that. I'm a little bit troubled by the use of eminent domain. Had our civil attorney look up the definition for me for public utility. I'm troubled by it, but that's not my decision to make. That's up to the Iowa Utilities Board. I spent a lot of years in law enforcement. I know that if you go to trial with somebody, you can get an expert to say just about anything you want that expert to say if you write the check. I don't believe that this resolution, 1621, I don't believe that it's a bad idea. I don't believe that it's a bad idea to ask for somebody, and Wayne brought up a good point, who is that somebody going to be? That's not our business. That's not our determination. That determination, if they want to listen or look at this resolution, is the Iowa Utility Board's. You know, I think a lot about how much impact is this resolution going to have. It's going to be filed, if we pass it, it's going to be filed with the Utilities Board, along with countless other replies that they're going to get up until the period is over this Friday. Wayne had some concerns on the wording in the resolution, and the only way that the wording is going to be exactly the way we want it is if this board presented its own resolution, and we've not done that. We've decided that's not the route that we're going to go. But I'm going to take a lot of the what ifs out of this for me personally, as a member of this board, and I'm going to make the motion that we support Resolution 1621 as it's presented to us today. So, I'm going to carry out a motion.
No second. So I'll weigh in. I believe that $250,000 is woefully low. I think everybody involved, including the pipeline company, recognizes that that's woefully low. I hope that the Iowa Utilities Board recognizes that $250,000 is woefully low. Greatly troubled by eminent domain. This board chose not to do a road project that would have greatly and drastically improved a road in Story County because we didn't want to go down the path of eminent domain. I understand eminent domain needs to be there for a reason. I get all that. I don't like eminent domain. I like what Wayne said. I really wish that this resolution had come to us the first time back when I didn't feel like it was just a delay tactic. And I think somebody rightly pointed out, either you win or you try to delay until it's not economically feasible to do something anymore. And at the end of the day, I remain where I was a few months ago, and that is we have a process in place, like it or not. Part of this process, I believe, is for the Board of Supervisors to hear our its citizens and interested parties when they want to bring something to us. There are times that we need to take action and make a statement, as we did earlier today with the DOT, and there's times that I don't feel it's appropriate. For me, this is one of those times. We have a motion and no second on 1621. Is there any motion on 1623? Hearing no motion, we have nothing in front of us to consider. We have no agency reports, no departmental reports, no other reports. That leads us to public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address the board on something else? Seeing none, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time.